I want to read from Mark chapter 1, the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. You know, the Bible tells a story about two boys and their father. And you'd say to me, I know that story instinctively. You mean the one where the young son broke his father's heart? He asked for his inheritance and he did a disappearing act. And the boy lost his dignity and exchanged a whiskey bottle for the pig pen. That's the story. No, that's not the story. That boy who comes back home and his father sets an example of what God, our Heavenly Father, is like, a model of what we should be as fathers, approachable and forgiving and receiving. The profound parallel of the Father heart of God. Well, it's a wonderful story, full of insights, full of challenges. But there's another incident in the Bible about two boys. Well, there's a number of incidents of boys and their dad, but in the New Testament, about two boys and their dad, and the things that happen to the father are what make you sad. And I want to speak about that this morning and share it with you. Let me read the passage. It's in Mark chapter 1. Now watch how I pick this up. It's verse 14. This is not a chronology, is Mark. It's not, the start of Jesus' life is like this, Bethlehem and so on. It's not a chronology like that. In fact, it starts right in his ministry because it wants to record for you the amazing things that Jesus did. So here's the start. After John was put in prison, that's John the Baptist. After John was put in prison. Well, that's some time on from the ministry of Jesus. Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother casting a net into the lake because they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said. I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their net and followed him. And when what? And when he had gone a little further along, when he'd gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. And without delay, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. They followed Jesus. Now that's a remarkable statement about being in your place, about missing things because of the wrong decisions that you make. And I want to share with you what it is that went wrong for the father, for Zebedee. What did he miss? Because he never went with the boys. We'll see that in a moment. Well, let's turn to this scripture. You know, in Mark 1 and verse 20, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship, in the boat, with the hired men. If you want the chronology, you need to go to John's Gospel, chapter 1, take you all the way through to chapter 4 and so on. There you've got the encounters with John the Baptist. You're the Son of God, the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. You've got the moments when he's met Andrew and he's met Simon Peter and Nathaniel, and then he's turned the water to wine at Cana at the marriage ceremony. Then he's met Nicodemus in the midnight encounter, and then you've had the meeting with the woman at the well in Samaria. So all of that is going on. Now, Mark wants to explain why Jesus left Judea. That's why he starts where we're starting, and why he came to Galilee. And the answer was this, very simple. Herod had arrested John the Baptist. That's why when we read the scripture, when John the Baptist was taken prisoner, Herod has arrested him, you see. And so wisdom, if you're a wise man, if you've got any common sense, you relocate. You'll go away from that particular region that's become a hotbed for persecution and arrests and so on. So that's happening. And he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of Jews would be thinking, this is the guy. We can have a revolution, a political revolution. He's talking about the kingdom of God, and to every Jew, that meant what they believed and what they stood for. It was about being free of the Roman yoke. But Jesus was talking about something here. The kingdom of God is within you. It's something that happens in your life, in your heart, in your personal experience and encounter with God. It's a spiritual dimension, not a political organization he's thinking about. That's the only way he could talk to Nicodemus, by believing the good news, by being born again, by changing. So all that's gone on. And wherever Jesus went, there's a sense of authority, a magnetism, an aura, a commanding presence about Jesus and his preaching. It's hard to put it into words. But when he spoke to you. And you just knew it. And he was always right. And his commands had to be obeyed implicitly and unreservedly. Who else could interrupt fishermen in their work and challenge them to leave their nets and their jobs and follow him? But that is exactly what he did. Now, months before, he's already met Peter and Andrew, James and John, and they come to have some kind of trust in him. If you read John chapter 1, from about 35 onwards, you'll understand that. So what is happening here? What is happening in this first chapter of Mark? It's not just an invitation to follow him, but be a disciple. Be someone who is so committed. It's this initial call to discipleship. And the reaction of James and John, the Zebedee boys, is they leave their father on the ship, on the boat. They leave the hired servants. They leave the family scene. And they go off to serve Jesus as a fisher of men. Now, that was a kind of common philosophy of teachers of that time. They captured men's minds through their teaching and their persuasion. They would bait the hook with their teachings and they'd catch the disciples. What would life become then? Because they've taken the bait. They've taken the decision. They will be a disciple of Jesus. What will happen to James, Zebedee? He'll be a martyr. They will take his life. What happened to John, Zebedee? He'll be a writer. He gives you that amazing account. We call it John's Gospel. He'll be the last of the disciples to die. That's why we get the book of Revelation. You see? And what an amazing account John Zebedee gives of Jesus. Do you know these two boys, the Zebedee boys, they would be with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were at the cross when Jesus died. And John Zebedee found that almost the last things that Jesus said was say, look after my mom. He would bequeath to him, this is my will and giving and my legacy. Look after my mom. John Zebedee, will you take care of my mother? And then when Mary Magdalene came and said one Sunday morning, 3 days after the cross, grave's empty, the body's missing. John Zebedee was the guy who ran the fastest. He was the fastest runner that got there before Peter. He left Peter gasping for breath. And the two boys, they were there on the beach that morning when Jesus met them on the beach after the resurrection. And they heard Jesus say, have you got anything for breakfast? And then, of course, you know how they let down the nets and they have them. When that encounter took place, do you know who shouted, it's the Lord? That was John Zebedee. They were, if I can put it in our kind of language, modern parliaments, they got the T-shirt. But where was Dad? Where was Zebedee when all these things were happening? They left their father in the boat with the hired servants fixing nets. So he says goodbye to his boys. Won't you come as well, Dad? Boys, I'm busy. And when Jesus says, come follow me, Zebedee is too busy fixing things. Now, let me just interject something. Do you know anything about Zebedee's wife? She's with Jesus time and time again. Sometimes she's pushy, almost impertinent. She's the one, it's Zebedee's wife, who says, hey, do you actually have a place for my boys? And so they'd be the number one guys, the bosses, alongside you. And you know the story and what happened. Rather foolishly, wanting her boys to be number one in the top place in the kingdom. Well, moms think like that. Moms think that their boys are unique and special. And do you remember that awful day when Jesus died on the cross with his arms stretched so wide apart that it hurt? She was there. Zebedee never stopped her. Zebedee never made a fuss. Zebedee didn't find fault because he was too busy looking after the business, mending the nets, staying with the servants, drifting out on the lake with the boat towards the setting sun. So busy that he never hears and he never stops And he never looks up for a moment to ponder this question: should I get involved with Jesus? What's the lesson? Is this just a story? Is this just a family event? Interesting? Or is it significant, relevant, in the way it poses issues that we must face because missing things is what I want to talk about? See, the tragedy of what Zebedee missed, he missed seeing Jesus. He missed going with and meeting with someone from eternity. If you were able to meet somebody from history, who would you choose? You're part of a church life. Would you choose Abraham or Moses or Elijah? If you're a writer, or if you're a reader, would you choose Homer? Would you choose Alexander? Would you choose Julius Caesar? Would you have Plato or Socrates? What about Cromwell? What about Shakespeare? Who would you choose? For most of us, probably here this morning, without any hesitation, well, I'd like to see and meet Jesus. And Zebedee had the chance to do that, and he missed it. Why? Because he was busy with the boats and the servants. So busy that he never saw Jesus walking and talking and being with them. Do you know the most wonderful thing about heaven that I'm looking forward to? When I'm a resident up there, I am going to see him face to face. But I came to tell you, I meet him here every single Sunday morning. Every single Sunday morning. We have already prayed before you even came into the building that Jesus would be here. And you can see him. Oh, I'm not talking with this natural eye, but you can see him. And Zebedee missed seeing Jesus, and he missed hearing Jesus. He never heard Jesus give thanks for some bread and some fish over a meal. He never heard Jesus command the crowd, sit down, go here, go there. He never heard Jesus pray. Let me tell you how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He never heard Jesus preach. He never heard the Sermon on the Mount. He never heard the Beatitudes. He didn't hear him rebuke the wind when the boat was rocking in the storm. He never heard him say, peace, be still. And there was a calm. He never heard Jesus in the cut and thrust of all the arguments with the scribes and Pharisees. And he never heard him to say this, it's finished. He never heard it. His boys heard it, but not Zebedee. You know what the Bible tells me? That there is a day coming, a morning, even if it's midnight, when Jesus will speak once again, and everyone will hear his voice, and he will order us to get up, and the dead will hear his voice and answer, I'm here. Hold this guy, Ebenezer Temple, buried out beyond this pulpit. He's going to hear the voice, and the earth is going to crack, and the building is going to split open, and Ebenezer is going to rise. And so all these other saints, and all these on the obelisk, and you, and me, we will hear a voice and say, I'm here, I'm here. Zebedee, Zebedee, why didn't you hear Jesus speaking? I was busy with the nets. Somebody else has got to earn their bread and butter. Every single week, when I open the pages of Scripture, you can hear the voice of Jesus. He tells you to come. He tells you to repent. He tells you to believe. You will hear my voice, but somehow in that extraordinary way that the Spirit of God has, it will be the voice of Jesus telling you to trust God, to take up your cross, to follow him, to walk godly ways. To hear the voice. Zebedee never saw, he missed going with Jesus, he missed hearing Jesus, and you know what else? He missed all the miracles of Jesus. He never saw, the boys did, he never saw Jesus take that little girl, Jairus' daughter, by the hand. And in an instant, the lifeless form of the girl is transformed to life. And Jesus says, come and have some breakfast. Quicker than a snap of the fingers. He never saw it. He never saw him walk along the road on the fringe of the desert and watch the lepers shouting, unclean, unclean, unclean. And Jesus touched them. And they were made whole. He never saw that. He walked straight up to the leper and touched him. And then the hand of Jesus touched him. The sores and the disfigurement, they disappeared. Zebedee never saw the blind man receive his sight. He never saw the lame man walk again. He never saw the man with a withered arm in the temple. Because I believe he would have gone to church, to the synagogue. But he never went there when Jesus was there. So he never saw the man with a withered hand made whole. He didn't see. The two sisters at Bethany. I wonder where they went. They gasped in awe. A tombstone is moved away. And Lazarus comes shuffling, walking out. Where were you, Zebedee? I was fixing things. I had business to do with the boat. And Zebedee never saw the cross of Calvary. People spend a fortune traveling to see the sights of the world, the famous places that travel agents insist where we should be. But there's nothing compared to Calvary. And when you look at the cross, you look at the greatest demonstration of God's love in the death of his beloved son, Jesus. It wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. It wasn't the Roman guards doing their job. Just simply his perfect love for everyone. It's the kind of loving that pays the price for all the wrong that's said and done. Zebedee never went to the cross. He never saw that God is here in action, reaching down, reaching out of eternity to touch a lost humanity and in the process provide a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. A door that would be open so we could go in. Because at Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. He never went to the cross. So he never knew that Jesus died for sinners. He never saw the thief cry out, remember me. And he never saw the response, I'd do a lot more than that. Because Jesus says to the thief next to him on the cross, today You'll be with me in paradise. He never saw that through the cross, God is looking for people like you and like me, like us, to be reconciled to himself and have a relationship with him that would produce love and joy and forgiveness and peace. Did you know that? Where are you, Zebedee? And Zebedee missed the empty tomb. It's the foundation of our faith. Christ's resurrection is a cause for the greatest celebration. To see a grave where a dead body was placed and discover that death could not hold him, that Jesus got up and he started walking the rest of the road back to the Father, that he has triumphed, we sing. He has triumphed, hallelujah. He wears a victor's crown. And then what? And he walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. Zebedee, you could have seen all of that, but where were you? He'll tell you where he was. He was in the boat, mending the nets with the hired servants. And that's a tragedy. And sadly, that's the same story that has been reenacted in all too many lives. And I came to plead with you. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss out like Zebedee. You see, it's very simple. The truth about what Zebedee needed. I sense a sadness. I want to cry. I want to weep for Zebedee and for folk like Zebedee. What can we say to them? What can we say to him? What ought we to do to help him change his mind? Because that's the ministry of our church, is to tell the Zebedees of our world, you're missing so much. You're missing so much. It's a question about fixing your priorities. Making a living is not wrong. That's not what I'm trying to say. But making a living is not all that life is about. There are priorities. You ask Zebedee, he would have said, well, life, what is it? It's for fishing. No, no. Zebedee, your priorities are wrong. I picked up a strange story. It's one of those things that gets repeated. It's a policeman curiously watching a drunk looking for something under the street light. So the policeman says, what are you looking for? I've lost my wallet. I've lost my wallet. Well, where did you lose it? Down the road. Well, why don't you go down there? Well, there's no light down there. He's a drunk. You see, and I tell you what, there are no lights where the vast majority of a community. All too many are searching for something, but they don't know where to look. There are women that I've had here with the children when they come from the school who said, we never knew that this was a church. And they've lived 30, 40 years in Rochford and walked past here. Day after day, we don't have a spire. And they thought that you had to have a spire in order to be a church. And they often wondered, what were these buildings for? And they're real, ordinary moms. And they stood here with me and said those things to me. Listen to me now. Zebedee's boys are with Jesus. His wife is with Jesus, and Zebedee ought to be with Jesus. It would be the best thing he could do for his family. Do you remember that? I mentioned it, the wedding feast at Cana, that first miracle, Mary uttered some very wise words at that wedding feast. Whatever he says to you, do it. Do it. And I say it again this morning. Can I add something more? When I came here, I'd come from a church of 250 membership. I was one of the upgoing guys. But I had a lady here who rolled my back month after month, year after year. Spiritual lady, a good lady. She's 30 years gone, so it's no question of telling you who she is. But she complained to me about the services here. And because of the job she had, she would often not be here to worship, but go to the Baptist. And we were always doing something wrong. And she would always be missing when something happened here. One wonderful night, this area here, and spilled onto the platform, was full of young people making a commitment to Jesus Christ. A number of them are in full-time ministry now and serving the Lord. Missed it. Missed it. If you miss a service, maybe that's the time God's going to break in here. I just offer you this. Make sure you are in your place. I preached on it some time ago. You see, it's easy to miss something, to be a Zebedee. You have to fulfill your potential. God has to be the center of things. You cannot allow other things to come between you and him. So that you see every trouble, every life situation, every happening as from his hand. Part of his purpose is for you. So that Jesus becomes the focus of our living. And you fix your mind on him, his perfect work, his mediatorship. He's in the gap between me and God. He's coming again. And then you make the church the basis of your hopes and your concern. Galatians 4 calls the church the mother of us all. Hebrews 12 says, love the church, love the saints. So the young people can talk to the old and enjoy the company of people with whom you're going to spend eternity. We aren't here to fix nets. We're here to get our potential in Jesus Christ. Because I only have one more thing to say. It's to follow the Master. I spend every moment of every day trying to fulfill this potential. This is my destiny. It's yours too. I am not here to fix nets, to look after the boat. I'm not here to look after the business of running the church. We are here to meet the living Christ, to know that we're going to see Jesus. Here we're going to hear him. Here we're going to witness him work miracles of grace and blessing. And we're here. That's why I never miss a Sunday to talk to you about the cross and tell you about the empty tomb and tell you that one day, maybe sooner than we think, he's coming again. It's not climate control. It's not stop oil. It's not any of these other issues. It's about saying, follow him. Follow him. You see, don't miss. Don't say, oh, I'm too tired this morning. I'm too busy this week. Don't miss. Don't miss. And don't be a Zebedee. If you've never given your heart and your life over to him, you can do it this morning. And you will see him, hear him, find he'll work a miracle of grace in your life. And the cross will bring you forgiveness and blessing and favor. And the resurrection will bring you new life. Zebedee! Zebedee, you missed it all. What a sad day. Don't have a moment like that. Don't stay with the boat fixing the nets. Don't be a Zebedee. Don't miss anything that God has for you. Follow the Master. Lord, we tell you, once again, we need you. Oh, bless us now, our wonderful Savior. We come to you. Take us home safely. Take us home in peace. Take us home with the blessing of Father, Son, and Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.